live from the Palatial yet not overly ostentatious studios of the Infinity Sports Network here in beautiful New York City, sitting on top of the 10th floor of 345 Hudson Street. Welcome on in to a Tuesday edition of the Zach Gelb Show across all the great local Infinity Sports Network affiliates, Sirius XM, Channel 375, the free Odyssey app, and of course, streaming live on YouTube. 888-710-4ISN. That is 888-710-4476 is the number to jump on board with us. You could always get at me on Instagram, where I'm straight flexing, or via the good old cesspool of Twitter, at Zach Gelb. That's Z-A-C-H-G-E-L-B. Kevin Hovde is going to join us coming up at the top of the hour. He's an assistant on the Florida Gators men's basketball staff, and he's also the new head basketball coach at Columbia. So doing a little double dip, we'll get his thoughts on the Final Four, which he'll be coaching in as an assistant for Florida, going up against Bruce Pearl's Auburn Tigers. And then at 5:20 p.m. Eastern time today, 2:20 p.m. Pacific, we will connect with a former defensive end at SMU with the Mustangs, Elijah Roberts, as we will do a little prospect profile with him as he gets set to figure on out where he's going to hear and when he's going to hear his name called in the NFL draft. We're 23 days away from the first round of the NFL draft, and let's start with the draft. And I believe that Cam Ward's going to be the number one overall pick to the Tennessee Titans. After that, that's when I think the draft really can get funky. Now, there's been different wavelengths. I would say 3 weeks ago, a lot of people were on Shedeur Sanders to the Browns at 2. Then 2 weeks ago, it was Abdul Carter to the Browns at 2. And now today, the name that is emerging for the Cleveland Browns is Travis Hunter. This is Darryl Ryder, longtime Cleveland Browns reporter for 92.3 The Fan in Cleveland at Odyssey Station. He tweeted this out today. I'm 100% convinced of the following with the Kirk Cousins to Cleveland train rolling down the tracks again. Number one, the Browns are not drafting Shedeur Sanders. Number two, Travis Hunter is the pick at 2. And then number three, they will draft the QB in the middle rounds, use higher picks on impact players. So I guess the flavor of the week is Travis Hunter now to the Cleveland Browns with the second overall pick. But it's not just Darryl Ryder having it on out there. Let's listen up. This is Tony Rizzo, who longtime talk show host ESPN Cleveland. He thinks the Browns are going with Travis Hunter as well with the second overall pick.
Based on everything I've seen, all the information I have, I think the Cleveland Browns are taking Travis Hunter right now. I do. To me, the elephant in the room is your offense stinks. And here is a once-in-a-lifetime two-way star. If he contributes on one side of the ball, like I think he can, I'll be happy with whatever they decide to do with him. Like, let's say Denzel Ward goes out. Can you, 1 week you'll put Travis Hunter a corner? You could do that.
Then let's also hear from Tony Grassi, who he had two big takeaways after hearing from Andrew Berry and Kevin Stefanski. Obviously, the league meetings, the owner meetings are underway, and you have all the general managers and all the head coaches there. They are talking as well. And Tony Grassi was on with Tony Rizzo, and you had this encounter.
They really like Kenny Pickett and is confident that he could be the starting quarterback on day one. Three times today, Kevin Stefanski came back to saying, I'm really excited about Kenny. Kenny's our guy. Okay, so if you accept that, okay, it probably means they're passing on a quarterback at number two. Because if you pick the quarterback at 2, you wouldn't be building up Kenny Pickett at all. So my other take off of this is that I really think they like Travis Hunter as their pick at 2 if they stay there.
So there you go, Tony Grassi talking about his takeaways that they really like Kenny Pickett, and then because of that, they'll go Travis Hunter at 2. I am willing to admit that even though I think something should happen, when I start to get the sense that it won't happen, like, I'm okay with differentiating my opinions on what should and then what will happen. I will continue to say this until the cows come home. Absolutely, positively, the Cleveland Browns should take Shedeur Sanders. The more and more, though, that comes out in the last 3 weeks where it's gone from Shedeur to then Abdul Carter to now Travis Hunter, we shift further and further away of Shedeur Sanders going to the Cleveland Browns. Now, I'm still not able to wrap my head around Kenny Pickett being the starting quarterback for the Cleveland Browns come week one. I still believe that other domino that's going to fall is Kirk Cousins. But even with all that being said, as I said this to John Fanta yesterday, where he was like, oh, I would go with Abdul Carter. And I said, I understand what you're saying, but John, you have no hope at the quarterback position. So when Jimmy Haslam yesterday comes out and says, oh, I apologize, and this is on me, the whole Deshaun Watson stuff, that means nothing to me. The move was made. I understood why you made the move at the time, even though Deshaun Watson is a deplorable human being. At the time, he wasn't in a jail cell. At the time, he was going to be allowed to play football after the suspension. And at the time, we viewed Deshaun Watson as a top 10 quarterback in football. So I understand when you separate being a good human being and then trying to build a winning football team, why the Cleveland Browns went all in on Deshaun Watson and why they elected to bring him to Cleveland. Now, it didn't work out. But you were willing to roll the dice with multiple first-round picks. You were willing to roll the dice on a guaranteed contract and annoyed the rest of the league. But that same regime here now with the second overall pick isn't willing to take a chance on Shedeur Sanders. Shedeur Sanders, who has zero off-the-field problems. Shedeur Sanders, who was very good at Jackson State. Shedeur Sanders, who was very good at Colorado. So I don't understand why the Browns, it feels like they're not going to take Shedeur Sanders. And if their plan is Kenny Pickett over Shedeur Sanders, I don't get that one. If their plan is Kirk Cousins over Shedeur Sanders, I still don't get that one. Now, I'm cognizant of the fact that when I think of the best players in this draft, Abdul Carter to me is one and Travis Hunter is two. That's how I rank them. And you're getting the second best player, in my opinion, if you take Travis Hunter in the draft. But you either have a quarterback in this league or you don't. And the Browns have taken many chances, and they've taken many chances on quarterbacks. And I know there's different regimes, but this was the regime that brought in Deshaun Watson. Like, how much more time are you going to get after that massive mistake? You only get so many opportunities. So even though Travis Hunter is viewed as the better player, even though an Abdul Carter is viewed as a better player, you have Myles Garrett, right? I don't think you need to take a player like Abdul Carter, even though I think he's the best player in the draft. You have Denzel Ward. Now, Travis Hunter can help you at corner and at wide receiver, and we'll see how the Browns specifically use him, but the Browns still do have Jerry Jeudy. Now, is Denzel Ward a better corner than Travis Hunter? I don't think so, but Denzel Ward's very damn good. Is Jerry Jeudy a better wide receiver than Travis Hunter? I don't think so, but Jerry Jeudy had a very good season in Cleveland last year. So, if you have a wide receiver and you have a corner, to me, and you have an elite edge rusher, and honestly, either the first or second best defensive player in the NFL, why would you take Abdul Carter or why would you take Travis Hunter when you don't have a quarterback? And that's the part that I'll channel my inner Juju Smith-Schuster here, and it will probably age a lot better for me than it did for Juju. This is why the Browns is the Browns, right? What is your plan at quarterback if you say no to Shedeur Sanders? And why are you saying no to Shedeur Sanders? Because I'll even admit, do I view Shedeur Sanders as an elite quarterback? Do I view him as a great quarterback? Right now, no. But I think he's a good quarterback. And I think he could be good in the NFL. So sure, Abdul Carter could go be a 13, 14, 15 sack year guy. You already got Myles Garrett. Travis Hunter could go be a dual threat superstar that we have never seen really before at that level of the NFL. But you do got Jerry Jeudy. You do got, in addition to Denzel Ward. Where's the drop-off? Like, yes, Travis Hunter. Yes, Abdul Carter. Yes, you have pieces there. You have guys there. Look at the drop-off, though, from these options to Shedeur Sanders to Kenny Pickett. or Shador Sanders to old man Kirk Cousins? Like, what doesn't belong? What makes you say, oh, that's a hole in our football team? If I tell you the Browns get Travis Hunter, great. Got another wide receiver, got another corner. If I tell you the Browns draft Abdul Carter, great, you got another pass rusher. You already have, though, a Denzel Ward, a Jerry Jeudy, and a Myles Garrett. If I tell you you pass on Shador Sanders, uh-oh, maybe you get Kirk Cousins? And what happens if you can't get Kirk Cousins? Then you're going with Kenny Pickett. Which one isn't survivable? And you don't even know what condition Kirk Cousins is walking into. That's why I would take Shador Sanders. That's why I think, even though he's not the best player on the board, there's a greater need at a position that is a lot more important than the other two that we're mentioning. So, let's continue to rock and roll in Cleveland. Here is Peter Schrager, newly of the ESPN. He was on with the Pat McAfee show. And Peter Schrager is talking about Kirk Cousins maybe going to the Browns, which would put more merit to this idea that the Browns are passing on Shador Sanders and maybe they're taking Travis Hunter at two.
The Browns thing makes a lot of sense for two big reasons. One, there's a gaping hole at quarterback. I mean, Pickett could hold the fort, but he's not your only option. And then two, Stefanski and Cousins have a really good personal relationship. At least in Cleveland, he goes to a quarterback's coach in a whisper that he's had. He's got a relationship, a fan base that would be thrilled to have him. And he's an upgrade, and he's the quarterback one. But Myles Garrett did say that he knows of a plan at quarterback, and he's comfortable with that plan. I can't imagine it's with a rookie quarterback or it's I'm thrilled to go to war with Kenny Pickett.
So that's what I don't get. Mike, let me just ask you this. You're Myles Garrett. What intrigues you the most out of these three options? Kirk Cousins coming to town? Kenny Pickett being your starting quarterback? Or Shador Sanders getting drafted second overall? What would intrigue you the most?
You'd like to say Shador because at least there's that unknown and a higher ceiling maybe. But as a veteran like Myles Garrett who's lost year after year after year, and we know this, so many veterans just don't have the patience for a rookie quarterback and the growing pains they might have. If I'm Myles Garrett, long term, I would say Shador for sure, but this dude is just lost year after year after year. He might just be saying, you know what, give me Kirk Cousins, give me 8-9 wins a year until we find the guy, if they don't think that Shador is the guy. But if I were Myles Garrett, I would say Shador, but I think he's probably thinking Kirk Cousins.
Stu, what would your answer be on this one? If I say you could get Kenny Pickett, you could get Shador Sanders, you could get Kirk Cousins, you're Myles Garrett, which one would you want?
I would want Shador Sanders because, again, Mike kind of said it, but just the optimism it brings, the potential, you know, it's going to be a top five pick. We're not talking about a mid first rounder, late first rounder, second rounder. Like, this guy's a top five pick. You expect that to come in day one and start from day one. So that would be my answer.
Now, I'm not knocking Kirk Cousins because I think Kirk Cousins has been a good quarterback in this league. But I think it's obvious here. I'd rather roll the dice of the unknown of Shador Sanders. Clearly, you're not interested in Kenny Pickett with what happened in Pittsburgh in a better environment than Cleveland. And for Kirk Cousins, right, Mike said, he won like 8-9 games a year. All right, for Cleveland, right? He's had some taste of the postseason. You've been to the postseason twice in Cleveland, which is wildly successful. And I like Kirk Cousins. Don't love, but like. But Kirk Cousins was the quarterback at Minnesota from 2018 to 2023. So 2018 to 2023. Here's the win totals for Kirk Cousins from 2018 to 2023. 8-7-1. 10-6, lost in the divisional round. 7-9. 8-9. And then 13-4, lost in the wild card round. 7-10. So you're going to put Kirk Cousins in a lesser situation when those results were all up and down, and you basically had two good seasons, and I'm going to expect Kirk Cousins, who just got benched in Atlanta for a younger quarterback, to provide more excitement than Shador Sanders. That I don't see. Here is Field Yates on ESPN Cleveland saying the Browns are going either Abdul Carter or Travis Hunter.
I still believe the Browns are less likely to pick a quarterback than they are likely to take a quarterback. We shall see, but the indications continue to point towards one of Abdul Carter and Travis Hunter. I just think right now my lean is a little bit in the direction of Abdul Carter, but I'd be lying if I said that the winds haven't shifted a bit more in the direction towards Travis Hunter. So, I just don't know definitively. What I can tell you is it will be Abdul Carter or Travis Hunter.
Now let's do this. Let's say they're not taking Shedeur Sanders. Let's say Cam Ward is the number one overall pick to the Tennessee Titans. Abdul Carter or Travis Hunter? Who should the Browns take? Santer?
I'm going Abdul Carter. I think if you pair him up with Myles Garrett, that's going to be the kind of defense that we can talk about carrying a team to the playoffs. Like, if you have a competent quarterback and those two guys on defense.
A game manager?
Yeah. If you have Kirk Cousins with that defense, I said 8-9 wins before, but if you have that defense with Denzel Ward on the back end, that legitimately could be the best defense in the NFL. And with that kind of pass rush, with those two guys and Denzel Ward, that could be enough to propel you to a playoff run.
Yeah, the only reason why I can't get to best defense in the NFL, it'd be a great defense, don't get me wrong, is I still don't know what to expect from the offense. Like, we've seen great defenses, the offense absolutely just shoot themselves in the foot because the quarterback is turnover prone and they're giving them short fields and the defense is basically suck and win because they're never off the sideline. They're constantly on the field because the offense is three and out, three and out, three and out. That offense is a major concern for me.
Sure, but if you have Kirk Cousins, the offense won't be great, but I don't think they'll be three and out, three and out, three and out. They'll be competent, which is enough.
I think they'll be wildly erratic.
They'll be better than the Ravens' offense was with Trent Dilfer back in 2000, right? So I'm not saying that defense is going to be as good, but, like, it's going to be a better offense than what Trent Dilfer was leading with the Ravens. So at the very least, if your defense is a top-five defense and you have Kirk Cousins and a top-18 offense or something like that, that's enough.
Stu, Travis Hunter or Abdul Carter?
I agree with Mike. As much
as what's going on? This is weird.
As much as a unicorn that Hunter is, give me the pass rusher. When they're both equal or close to equal, I'd rather have the pass rusher. Especially when you have Garrett and you have those two guys. Yeah, I would go Carter.
So I think I've been the biggest advocate for Abdul Carter on national radio. I have consistently said he's the number one overall pick. He should be he is the best player in this draft. Not that he will go number one overall. I even had a very memorable encounter with Warren Sapp that only enhanced my standing in the Abdul Carter camp. But I actually think the better fit for the Browns here would be Travis Hunter. Because you just paid so much money to Myles Garrett, and I know you just paid a lot of money to Denzel Ward, and I know you have Jerry Jeudy there, but Myles Garrett's the best player out of those three by far, and it's not even close. So that dual threat ability of Travis Hunter, where you could give some more oomph on the offensive side of the ball, and then defensively you could also use him as well, depending on how they use Travis Hunter, which is a great question, a great unknown, I actually think it makes more sense for Travis Hunter to get drafted by Cleveland. If the NFL draft first round was today, here's how I think. Not no, but here's how I think the first five picks will go. Cam Ward, number one to Tennessee. Travis Hunter, number two to Cleveland. Shedeur Sanders, number three to the New York Football Giants. Abdul Carter, number four to the New England Patriots. And then Mason Graham, sitting there at number five to the Jacksonville Jaguars. And I tweeted that out, and one prominent NFL analyst has already responded to it. And it was Dan Orlovsky, our guy, Dan Orlovsky, my flying buddy there and back to each and every Super Bowl, I feel like, for the last 4 years. He said, I agree. So I'm not the only NFL pundit or NFL mind or NFL jackass that thinks that's how the first five picks of the draft are going to go. Could that be me having some wishful thinking of Abdul Carter going to my Patriots? Potentially, but I think I laid out a very compelling argument. All right, it is Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. Oh, boy. Jerry Jones. Jerry. He's running the drama Dallas choking Cowboys playbook to a T. And this time he could be upsetting Micah Parsons, which is all part of the plan. We'll get to that next. We open up the show talking about the idea of the Cleveland Browns passing up on Shedeur Sanders, and a lot of buzz is that Travis Hunter today is going to be the pick at number two for the Cleveland Browns. A lot could change 23 days from now when the first round is underway. Because I always say this, what you could feel one day with the NFL draft can change the next day with the NFL draft, and what is a crazy, just wild buildup. But Jimmy Haslam was talking yesterday, and he apologized for picking Deshaun Watson and going all in and giving him the money and doing the draft picks for him, and talked about how they took a swing and they did miss. Now, here's the concerning part with Cleveland, though. And I think they should take Shedeur Sanders. I don't think they will, though. But Jimmy Haslam, when talking to ESPN yesterday, said, quote, "It would be great if we could get the quarterback, but we're not going to force it. We're going to be patient, and we're going to try to accumulate as many really good football players as we can." That last part, "we're going to try to accumulate as many really good football players as we can," makes me think that they're not taking Shedeur Sanders. It makes me think they're going Travis Hunter and Abdul Carter. When he says, "we're going to be patient, and we're going to try to accumulate as many really good football players as we can." And he also said they're not going to force it. If they draft Shedeur at 2, I think it'd be the right move. I'd applaud them. But I think a lot of people say, "oh, that's too early for Shedeur Sanders." And that's a mistake that you can make if you're the Cleveland Browns. Because one move didn't work out, and you were so aggressive in pursuing the services of Deshaun Watson, it blew up in your face. Then you get timid. Then you don't take risks. And then you wait to the quarterback to eventually come to you. That's something I'm not on board with. I think there's enough with what we've seen from Shedeur, where even if there's questions about him, that still I would give the Cleveland Browns a green light to take Shedeur Sanders at number 2. But then yet again, I'm not running the Cleveland Browns. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Let's go to San Antonio. Stu and I will be there tomorrow. And we talk to Kevin in San Antonio. Next up on the Zach Gill Show.
Hey, Zach, I just can't wait for the Final Four. But anyway, the Browns are so dysfunctional, they can't even write their name on a sheet of paper.
Could you imagine, Kevin, if the second pick of the draft comes and goes and they forget to write a name down and they mess that up?
Yeah, because it don't make no sense. Every time, you know, that was waste of money of Watson when he left. He left the Texans to go to the Browns. That was messed up, man. And they paid all that money, but he did not follow up.
No, he was a mess for them. And I know he got injured a bunch, and obviously it was disgusting with what he did off the field. But even with that being said, at the time, I understood why they did it, because the guy was a heck of a quarterback with the Houston Texans, and this was an organization that thought they were getting a great quarterback, but Deshaun Watson ended up being one of the biggest frauds in the history of the NFL, both as a human being and also as a quarterback.
I totally agree with that. He messed up his own career. That's not Houston. I'm a Houston Texans fan. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah, well you know not... what? Going back to it, Kev, at the time, it's funny how quickly things could change, because we thought we knew a lot about Deshaun Watson. We knew very little. At the time, everyone was against the Texans. They were like dysfunctional, disastrous organization. They're running Deshaun Watson out of town. And then all the allegations came out, and it was like, oh my goodness gracious, the Deshaun Watson we thought we knew, even with the dysfunctional Texans organization, they both were disasters. But the Texans have found their way. The Texans have restored themselves. They got DeMeco Ryans. They got Will Anderson. They also got the quarterback in C.J. Stroud. And Cleveland took a swing. It did not work. And Deshaun Watson has been an unmitigated disaster, and he falls into the long line of quarterbacks in Cleveland that just haven't worked out. Appreciate the phone call, as always, Kevin. So, the Browns are a joke. And if I'm a Browns fan, that's a torture fan base. Why do you think that they're going to finally get this right? That's why, like, usually I would say, if you don't love a quarterback, don't take him. And I like Shedeur Sanders. I don't love him. But the Browns have been such a mess in missing and missing and missing and missing at the quarterback position. At this point, aren't you just numb to it? Like, if Cleveland takes Shedeur Sanders at 2 and it doesn't work out, so what? How is life any different from you now than it will be 2-3 years from now? It won't be. If you take Abdul Carter, that's not going to change your franchise. And I think the world of Abdul Carter. If you take Travis Hunter, That's not going to uproot and change the direction of your franchise. Getting a quarterback that could be the it quarterback, that could actually change your franchise. All righty. Jerry Jones, a clown. That's the best way I could say it. So Jerry Jones has this playbook when it comes to contracts to delay, 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 drama, 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 drama. Look at Dak Prescott. Look at CeeDee Lamb. And now insert Micah Parsons into the conversation. There is no reason for the drama Dallas choking Cowboys to be a part of the news today. There is no reason for Jerry Jones to take shots at Micah Parsons' agent. There's no reason for Jerry Jones to go directly to Micah Parsons to try to make him the highest paid non-quarterback in the history of the NFL. Micah Parsons has an agent. If you're not going to use Micah Parsons' agent in these negotiations, then why does Micah Parsons have an agent? It's pointless. So Jerry Jones has no respect for Micah Parsons' agent. He basically told the entire NFL world today that he doesn't even know the name of his agent. And Micah Parsons is now fighting back, saying, facts, David is the best, and I will not be doing any deals without David involved. Like anyone with good sense, I hired experts for a reason. There is no one that I trust more when it comes to negotiating contracts than David. There will be no back doors in this contract negotiations. But this is what Jerry Jones does. There is no doubt about it in my mind. I 1,000% believe that Micah Parsons is going to get a long-term deal done and ironed out with the Dallas Cowboys, and money will heal all wounds here. But if you're Jerry Jones, just for the sake of drama and just stirring the pot, you're really going to take a shot at Micah Parsons' agent? It's almost like you're begging Micah Parsons to say, bleep you, you just showed a blatant amount of disrespect to my agent. We're going to play this thing out. We're not going to sign a long-term extension with you. And guess what? I'm great enough where I could get this money elsewhere. And you know what? It would be so just karma, a ton of karma directed to Jerry Jones if all these times where he talks about getting the deals done and doing it his way and how uncomfortable it is and all the drama that's associated with it, I would love for Micah Parsons to say, bleep you and go somewhere else. But I've seen this story play out too many times. Jerry Jones does something unnecessary in negotiations. Jerry Jones makes you wait, 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 and wait. And inevitably, Micah Parsons will get that deal done. But Clarence Hill Jr., who covers the Cowboys, he tweeted out, Jerry Jones, with blatant disrespect to Micah Parsons' agent, David Mulugeta, the agent is not a concern here. I don't know his name. And David is considered to be one of, and this is what Clarence says, and it's true, one of the best and most respected agents in the NFL. Parsons is wise to have hired David. So it's like, what are we doing here? This is Jerry Jones at the NFL owner meetings on why he went directly to Micah Parsons.
We've had a meeting of the minds.
Why have you not had that same meeting of mind with his agent?
Well, I don't know I'm the one who has to sign the check, and Michael's the one that has to agree to it. So that's the straightest way to get there is the one writing the check and the one agreeing to it talking. And that's the principle that's involved here. And I understand all the other issues, but as you know, it's not uncommon for me to negotiate directly with players. And I've done that.
So Jerry has a special relationship with his players, don't get me wrong. But I think this is like in any common business. Like, for example, I have an agent. When Spike Eskin used to talk contracts with me, I would say, Spike, contact my agent. That simple. I don't want to talk money. I don't want to hear the good or the bad that's thrown my way in negotiating contracts. Let me know what you talk about. Bring me in when is necessary. And I'm not saying Jerry can't have a conversation with Micah, but to think that you're just going to be able to freeze out the agent, if that was me, like let's say if Ryan Hurley came to me and it said, hey, we got a new deal for you. We want you to stay. We're giving you X, Y, and Z. And if I just said, oh, I like all the terms, I agree to it, then why am I paying my agent a fee? And like, seriously, why are you giving your agent a cut if that's the case? And are you going to be able to get the best deal that way? Personally, I don't think so. I think the agent is valuable. So it's almost similar here, even though there's a lot more zeros in Micah Parsons' contract than my contract, if we're just being honest. But It's almost as if Jerry knows you could have some conversations, but to think you're just going to be able to jump around the agent, and this is not like some Joe Schmo. This is one of the preeminent agents in the NFL. And you don't think you have to follow the rules like everybody else and go through the agent? And ultimately, Micah Parsons made his stance known. This is now how it's going to work. You're going to go through my agent. So Jerry Jones could call him up and be like, hey, we're going to give you $41 million a year, $42 million deal. Great. Jerry, talk to my agent. Because there's a lot more to a contract than just the years and the money. There's a lot of legal language. There's a lot of other parameters in the contract as well. That, quite frankly, this is why I hire an agent. Because I'm not intelligent enough to figure all that other stuff out on my own. So Jerry Jones, this is just Jerry being Jerry. He's a clown. He has turned into a clown. And he does not run his organization based off success being wins. He just runs the success of the organization based off of how much money he's making and how much drama he could stir up. Zach Gelb here with you on the Infinity Sports Network. We'll update you some of the biggest stories in the world of sports with some audio with the news brief next. Still to come, Kevin Hovde, who is the new head coach at Columbia and is a Florida assistant on Coach Golden's staff. He's going to be coaching the Final Four. He'll join us at the top of the hour. And then Elijah Roberts, the former SMU pass rusher, will stop by. We'll do a little prospect profile with him with the NFL draft 23 days away. Update time first. Here's Zach.
Time for your daily news brief. We get you caught up on the rumors, reports, and reconnaissance from the day in sports.
All righty, let's start it off with Shador Sanders. He was hanging out with Gilly the Kid. And obviously, Gilly's a big Eagles fan, rapper, all that stuff, blow the whistle. And Shador Sanders tells Gilly he's kind of going to the Giants, I guess. Listen up.
That's what you're going to be going against. That's what you're going against.
Yeah. You know, that's what it is.
No, dog, you can't come to it. Please, Neff. Go anywhere but the NFC East, man. Please, man.
He's going to have to root against him.
Please, Neff. Please, don't. I want to wear Shador Sanders jerseys all year. I can't do that with you with the Giants.
So, there's a guy in the background. And I was like, oh, you're basically going to have to root against him. Because Gilly is a huge Eagles fan. Like, he ran the team out during playoff games. He's in the locker room. All the players love him. He is, like, turned into the fan mascot, pretty much, for the Philadelphia Eagles. I think Shador wants to go to the Giants. I think that was evident ever since the Heisman Trophy presentation when he came to town to see Travis Hunter win it. And he was playing catch on the streets of New York City with Malik Nabers. Like, you were making a scene. You were trying to create a statement there. And we have kind of heard, right, that Coach Prime has said before, like, he wouldn't be afraid to use his voice to try and get Shador to go somewhere that he would want to go. The fact that Coach Prime is now saying, oh, I'm good with him being in Nashville or Cleveland or New York. What does Coach Prime know that we don't know? Because there's one thing in saying, oh, I could play that card and I could get you to kind of force my kid to go somewhere that he wants to go to, right? Like, you could do what the Manning family did. But if the Manning family was told, oh, the Chargers are going to pass on him and the Giants are going to take him, they would have never played that card. So the general thought is that Cam Ward's going to be number one pick. I still don't know what's going to happen at two, even though today's belief makes me think that it's not going to be Shador Sanders. So maybe Coach Prime is hearing enough through the back channels where he's like, all right, I don't need to say we're not going to Cleveland. I don't need to use my power and flex my muscles here, which he's capable of doing, because they get a feeling that the Giants are going to take him at three and he's going to be available at three. Now, some could say, well, then why would the Giants bring in Jameis Winston and Russell Wilson? If you look at what the Giants are paying and what Russ is on $20-something million, that's nothing for a quarterback. Jameis Winston's on a cheap deal, like really cheap deal. And Shador Sanders is going to cost you nothing, so, you know, at least on the first contract. So if you're paying those three quarterbacks like what, $27, $28 million, maybe $30 million most, that's not even what top-of-the-line starting quarterback money is. And you're paying that for potentially three quarterbacks per what, like one season? So yes, you could still take Shedeur Sanders. The Giants are just covering all their, you know, they're checking all their boxes because they can't afford where Shedeur goes to, and then they're sitting there and they only signed Jameis Winston, so that's why they brought in Russell Wilson. Here is Jed York of the 49ers. He said we're going to choose to give Brock Purdy a big deal over signing a lot of free agents and trading away a lot of players that we needed to get rid of to do so.
When you're in a world where everybody is watching the NFL the first week of free agency, or at least the first 3 days of free agency, it's a frenzy, right? Like, you see a huge spike in social following and things like that because it's something to get engaged in. And when you're not overly active in that space, it gets easy to say, you don't want to win. And you don't just have to do things the first 3 days in free agency. I don't know that as we looked at the board, that there was somebody that we felt made that type of an impact more so than making the decision to try to go pay Brock. And again, like, you can't pay somebody quarterback money and have all of the other talent around the way we had. Now you have to start fulfilling that, or filling that piece with the draft.
I don't want to say the 49ers are rebuilding because they didn't tear the entire thing down. But where the 49ers are at right now, it's almost like when you're playing blackjack, right? Hear me out here. And you're up like $300. But then the deck is out. And they bring out a new deck of cards, and you got to reshuffle the deck. That's what the 49ers are doing. The 49ers are playing with like $300, $400 that they have in chips. We know that Brock Purdy is going to be their guy. There's still an unknown of what Brock Purdy is going to be without a Deebo Samuel, right? With McCaffrey hurt, with Kittle, who's tremendous, right? But he's had his fair share of injuries too. Losing some guys in the defensive side of the ball. And you have a good starting point. You're up $300, $400. But the deck just got reshuffled and new cards are coming out. And you don't know what cards are going to the dealer and what cards are going to yourself. And that $300, $400 that you have with a good foundation can be gone in a snap of a finger. That's where the Niners are right now. Now, they're hoping they're going to give Brock Purdy all this money. And the cards are going to just keep on coming on out, coming on out, coming on out, coming on out. And they're going to still be a damn good football team and be more like what they've been the last 2 to 5 years rather than what they were last year. But you truly don't know, because the great multi-million dollar question here, pun intended, with Brock Purdy is not only are you going to pay him, but was he a product of the system? Or is there a different degree when the system is not as talented as it once was? And that's still the great unknown. Here is Art Rooney II on Aaron Rodgers.
Nothing new on the Aaron Rodgers front. You know, we'll see what happens, and hopefully we'll know something soon.
Are you content to wait?
Well, not forever, but a little while longer.
How did you envision it taking this long and playing out the way that it has?
No, didn't envision it taking this long, though.
There have now been some photos and videos of him throwing with DK Metcalf. Do you view it as a good thing? You're trying to read the tea leaves to figure out which way he's leaning?
I would say it was a good sign that he wanted to do that. And, we keep hearing that, he's headed in our direction. And it seems to be all signs are positive so far.
When will the white smoke emerge? When will we see the white smoke? Because I don't believe it's a matter of if Aaron Rodgers is going to sign with the Steelers. It's just when. And if you want to talk about really where Aaron Rodgers should go, it should be to the Cowboys. And you'd be like, well, I have Dak Prescott. But Aaron Rodgers is a drama whore. Jerry Jones is a drama whore. They would deserve one another. Because you think Jerry's drama is ridiculous. What the heck is Aaron doing here? You got no options, dude. Your options are literally retire or go to the Steelers. That's it. The Vikings said thanks, but no thanks. Yeah, the Giants want you. But oh, wait. They weren't waiting anymore because they knew that you didn't want to go there. And they knew that you weren't going to go there. So they signed Russell Wilson. So now it's either retire or go to the Steelers. And we know you don't want to retire. Enough with the nonsense. So the tush push got tabled, banning the tush push. It's not going to happen yet. It shouldn't happen. Matt LaFleur and the Packers were the ones that were pushing to ban the tush push. That's a tongue twister there. Matt LaFleur, who lost to the Eagles not once but twice this year, on why they oppose the tush push.
Just when you look at the play, I would say I don't think it's a great football play. It's more of a rugby play. And then some of the injury concerns. We want just want to kind of get out in front of that, you know, and be a little bit more proactive.
And even though you guys ran it a few times, like with the tight end, yeah, you still feel that way?
We do it too. I mean, but we're going to adjust, you know, to whatever the rules may be. And if it doesn't go through, it doesn't go through.
Can Sean McDermott and Matt LaFleur just shut up? You keep on, like, at least make a good argument. Oh, we're concerned about the injuries. No one has got hurt from the tush push. It'd be one thing if the Eagles are dropping like flies, or the Buffalo Bills, who run it a lot too, were getting injured from it. No one has gotten hurt from the tush push. You are pushing a false agenda. You are pushing a false narrative. You, I'm going to sound like Trump here, are fake news. That's what you are right now, Matt LaFleur. That's what you are right now, Sean McDermott. Oh, we're afraid of the injuries. We're trying to get in front of it. There's been no injuries. Zero. Zero. Goose egg. So stop mentioning the injuries. And it's just ironic to me. You play a lethal sport. Well, we're concerned about the player safety of it. This is not an unsafe play. They just don't like it, and they have no answer for it. That's the reality of the situation. Take a break. Talk some Final Four next. Florida assistant new coach at Columbia, Kevin Hovde, will join us next.